How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Wait, there's actually a horse in the Kentucky Derby named Journalism? Did you see this, Evan?
I did see this. I was looking at the horses this morning because I knew you had something coming for 11 o'clock.
I do. 11 o'clock. We're going to do Kentucky Derby Survivor. If you just go to KentuckyDerby.com, you'll see a good list of it. And then other things like the trainer, the owner, the name, Citizen Bowl. And then you go down to, if you scroll down, 8 is journalism. I'm like, all right. And by the way, it might be a favorite here at 3-1. I'm totally honest with you folks. Like, I have no idea, like, about any of these horses. Literally learning about these for the first time. Not dialed into it, not at all. Which is actually why, and what's going to make Kentucky Derby Survivor really fun today when Evan and I do it. Evan DePasquale producing for Josh Schmidt today. Evan's in. So we're going to have some fun with it because we haven't looked at it yet. We'll just look at it and go, oh, okay. So you have an hour, Evan, to kind of brush up a little bit if you want. If you don't, that's okay. We're just going to do it off the cuff.
Whatever works.
We'll do that. How many do we know who's actually, sometimes these, I mean, there's 21 horses in this thing. There's an Owen Almighty. Where's Owen? Is he here today? I don't see him. Did he leave? Oh, man. Owen Almighty. Are we gonna eliminate Owen Almighty right away? Maybe. I don't think we should because Owen's in there. But that's how Kentucky Derby Survivor works, where we basically, between Evan and I, we go back and forth and we eliminate one horse at a time, and for whatever reason we want. I could love the horse, he could hate him, because he came from a city he doesn't like. Whatever, reminds you of a person in your life that you didn't like very much. And then we get to one where we're like, okay, we're gonna stick with this horse. Just heard Nick the Railbird on. He said, it was amazing. Jeremy's like, this might be a dumb question. It was a great question. Like, why would some horses be better at running in the mud than others? And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's pedigree, right? A lot of them are actually trained to be able to do that. There he is. Can you hear me, Owen? I don't know if he can hear me. I don't know if Owen can hear me. When he gets a chance, tell him to turn it up. I want him to be able to listen. Here he's going to put himself. Can you hear me right now?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Did you know there's a horse in the Kentucky Derby named Owen Almighty?
Yes, we've been discussing this on the morning show with Jeremy and Joe. They we all have to bet it now. Me, Josh, Jeremy, Joe.
Oh, okay.
Because no, anyone.
We're going to play Kentucky Derby Survivor at 11 a.m.
Oh.
Evan and I, we're going to go through and eliminate one horse at a time for whatever reason we want, back and forth. And I may be like, why are you eliminating that horse? Doesn't matter. If he does, he's out. Until we get to a horse at the end that we want, that we're going to root for, that we both settle on.
Gotcha.
Could be by name or whatever. So I'm thinking, I'm going to feel really bad if I eliminate Owen Almighty at some point.
Well, you know, things happen. And there's only one horse, right? You can only have one horse. So I'm not going to be too mad at you, Sal.
I'm glad you're there, though. One of the reasons why I actually wanted to make sure you were here. Do you have a second?
Oh, yeah.
Can you stick around for a second?
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
So Owen Parker, giant goalie son, as you have known him for many years. Devin Levi, back-to-back shutouts for the Amerks.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the Amerks today, everybody, at 10:30 a.m. Jenna Cottrell is going to join me. Jenna does a great job out in Rochester. She's been covering the Amerks. She covers the Bills, obviously. She was at the draft, you know, the media room with me. So we were talking about the draft, and then when I saw that she's, you know, covering the Amerks as well, I figured it would really fit today. Devin Levi, two straight shutouts. The Amerks sweep the first round of their AHL series, the round of the North Division Final. And I just started thinking about, like, what this means for the future. I tweeted out something that said, what do you think about the Sabres' future? So what I did this morning, folks, you can go to my Twitter, at Sal Sports. Considering the Sabres season and what the Amerks are doing, what personnel moves, not front office, don't tell me fire Kevin Adams, I get it. Like, you might say that. That's not where I'm after. What personnel moves would you like to see? And I'm thinking about goalie, Owen. And what can we take from Devin Levi's season, from knowing how you know that the progression of goalies go, knowing he's still young, he's getting this experience, he's doing so well, does it mean anything at all?
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely very meaningful in terms of his development. But what I would be cautious of is thinking as a Sabres fan that guarantees that he will perform the way he has in the AHL this year, right? It's every level up is a new adjustment for, and often there's different adjustments that you have to make. A lot of the guys in the AHL are probably just about as fast as the guys in the NHL. They probably shoot just about as hard, other than, you know, those true top-tier elite Austin Matthews, Patrick Laine-level shots.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is processing and speed of plays being made rather than speed of actual players. So that can be a different adjustment, and it can take guys time. But I would be very encouraged by the way that he's dominated that league this year. He looks far more comfortable. He looks more confident. He always looks confident to me, but I think there are, especially when you watch the position as much as I do, little things that you can notice about a guy that indicate whether they feel confident in their game or not confident in their game. I think with Levi, you see a lot more of his confidence in his ability to hold his feet, especially as a smaller goalie.
Mm-hmm.
If he's confident enough to read plays and get to plays on his feet, rather than scrambling and using that athleticism that he does have, if he can save that a little more for situations where it's really needed, that tells me he's in a really good place mentally. Whereas I think we saw with UPL this year a little bit, he would chase plays, he would slide a lot, and that to me is an indicator of a guy that's not super confident in their reads and in their game. And I think if you can watch Devin Levi, especially if he goes on a deep run here, and I mean, he's off to a great start.
Mm-hmm.
If he can go on a deep run and build even more of that confidence and go, all right, I can come in next year and kind of take hold of this crease. I think the Sabres would like him to do that based on the year that UPL has had and some of the stuff that's been out there about him from Friedman and just sort of around the league. If he can come in and really establish himself and gain that confidence level early, that's when you might see that success really start to build. But like I said, you want to be cautious because there's adjustments at every level. Every jump, there's a new thing you got to figure out.
Right. So, and by the way, it's not just the two shutouts. He had a tremendous year. I'm looking at the AHL overall stats. Of any goalie that played at least 30 games, he had the fourth lowest goals against average in the AHL.
Led the league in shutouts as well.
That's right. 25 wins. It looks like third most maybe, I think, if I'm looking at this right. So, okay, for me though, the question comes in, at what point have you, okay, I've done enough here, right? Like, does it do anything for him to go back to the AHL next year? Because there's always the debate, and we've had this since last year. Is he better off being a part-time goalie in the NHL or a full-time goalie in the AHL? And I think that that discussion, clearly the answer was full-time AHL this year, I think. No doubt, right?
100%.
I think now he's kind of proven himself there. Do you run it back and do it again next year?
That's where things get a little interesting for me. I know everybody's really excited about what he's done and sort of the success that he's having and what that could indicate for his next season. But as I mentioned before, you got to be cautious because if you rush him in and it doesn't go well and you just keep forcing him in there and trying to, you know, jam a round peg into a square hole, it's going to maybe be tough for him to keep that confidence level I'm talking about. And I think it all depends on his mindset and his preparation, which by all accounts is as good as it gets. He's as pros come now, especially after having that full year of being the guy in the AHL. If he can carry that through, I think you should be confident in him then. But I just think as you grow as a goalie, there's going to be bumps along the road. And you got to know as an organization when it's a bump and when it's a sign that you should be doing something else.
Okay, so the problem here is the fly in the ointment in this discussion, that what you just said describes UPL.
Exactly.
Is it a bump or is it a, like this is what he is now? And if you think this is what he is and he's not going to be, maybe last year, the better year was the outlier. And if you think that, you have to start playing Devon Levi, I think,
100%.
Sooner rather than later, right?
I wrote a little bit about this a couple weeks ago. I had my article posted. It was the first thing I wrote. Just wrote a little bit about the Sabres goalies. And UPL, as a professional, has really only had that one season that was strong.
Right.
Every other season from the time he came over and played in the ECHL has been sort of middling, trying to float above 900 save percentage years. And it looks... You know, he's got the talent, but it looks to me like what we saw at the back half of last season is more of the outlier than the norm for his career so far. And the Sabres just have to decide whether they want to bet on that outlier being what he can do consistently or whether they want to go, do we want to try and, you know, roll something over here and give ourselves a shot with a guy that we think has a little more consistency to his game.
And if that's the case, though, you tell me. So let's just say you decide that. Okay, so we're trying to get the progression here and get us to a spot. I think we both agree, okay, maybe that's what UPL is, so now you have to start playing Devon Levi. But you can't rely on him to play 60 games next year, right?
No, you cannot expect that. You can hope for that, and if it happens, be in really good shape. But you cannot be relying on that to be your backbone next year. You've got to give him – you can't put all that pressure on him right away. Like when he first came in from Northeastern, he came right in and played and was the goalie for the playoff push.
I mean, they were playing him back-to-back
and
nights.
He played great, but that's not sustainable.
Right.
Especially, you know, that's a few years ago now, but like it's too much to put on a guy, especially when they're not experienced in this league – in what it takes to be a pro in the NHL full-time. You need a few years. If he goes in and he plays the first 25 games the next year and he looks great and you want to start riding him, do it. By all means, you should. But you can't be counting on that. The season's too important. You can't end up at a 15th year in a row missing the playoffs because you bet on a 24-year-old goalie to come in and really carry your team on the back end. You can't.
I'm just saying that out loud sounds so weird, right? Like, I mean, what you just said. Hey, we haven't been in the playoffs in 14 years. We're going to rely on this young goalie to come in, but he might also be the best option. That's the issue.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is there's as good a chance that he comes in and provides that for them as anybody. But you really don't want to be putting all your eggs in that basket. And that's why a guy like Jake Allen comes to mind for me.
Oh, okay.
Like a pro's pro, a guy that can do it. He can play 35 games for you, 40 games for you. He can shoulder the load for a little while if Levi needs a little time to sort of work on his game and figure a few things out, which all goalies do at some point. And you want to trust UPL to do that after this year? I don't know. I don't know if that's what you want to do. That's where they're at. That's the decision that Kevin Adams, I think, has to make. and we'll see what he does with it. And I think if you get it wrong, you're not going to be here anymore.
It's a fascinating discussion.
It is. The goaltending position in and of itself in the NHL right now is in a really interesting place where there's not that many guys that are that top-tier level of guy that can come in and play 60 games like a Connor Hellebuck, an Andrei Vasilevsky, all of that.
By the way, Hellebuck,
oh,
I mean, it's kind of been weird this playoffs, right?
Very weird. Yeah. He was okay the other night. He made that huge paddle stop. That was big for them. But, you know, 3 goals and I think 19 shots again. That's iffy. You don't want that. Like, you want Hellebuck to be giving up 1 if you're giving up 19 shots. I don't care what the danger of those shots are. You're paying him to be your MVP. He's a hard candidate this year. And he, in the playoffs, has maybe been their most inconsistent and biggest speed bump to their success. I think that team is incredibly deep and really strong. They play the right way. But for years now, every time Hellebuck gets into those playoffs, something switches and he's swimming.
Yeah. Sorry, so 2 questions for you, and I appreciate your time here.
Oh, of course.
Number one, so let's just put you are the new GM of the Buffalo Sabres, or you're just Kevin Adams. You're going to be the same GM, whatever. Terry Pegula brings you in and says, okay, we're rolling here. Just give me your plan for goal. What are you presenting after everything we just talked about?
I think that's
what's going to happen. They're going to talk. They probably already had this discussion.
Yeah.
Tell me what your plan is at goal.
What are you going to do? And I don't have all the information that someone Kevin Adams does.
Yes.
I think you need to – your decision comes in whether you want to trust UPL to be the partner to Devon Levi next year. I think you're hoping – Your best case is that Levi comes in and does what he's doing in the AHL this year, and really takes control. But like we talked about, you can't bank on that. And so your decision comes in, is UPL my guy to be?
Okay, I think what you said to me, though, here, this is interesting. So what you just said was you're starting with a baseline of Devon Levi's up here. That's where you're starting with a baseline.
The question
is how much he plays and who the partner is.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's about how you're supporting Devon Levi. You need to create an environment to provide him the chance to be productive the way he's been this season. For the GM, Owen Parker.
I love it. GM Owen Parker.
I talked about the Leafs.
Yeah.
It's a really good example of this. Last season, they bring in Anthony Stolarz, Chris Tanev, and they get a whole new identity. They change their style of play. Craig Berube comes in and tries to instill a lot of different habits in those guys than Sheldon Keefe was. And I think that Stolarz and Wall's numbers this year are so good, not only because they're talented goalies, because they were put in an environment that really allows a goaltender to flourish. There's not a lot of high danger chances. You know where your shots are coming from. You're confident in the system your team is playing. And that, for a goalie, makes a world of difference. And I think you need to find the environment that provides that for Devon Levi and maybe UPL, or if it's not UPL, who's going to come in and sort of help lift him up. And I think I keep coming back to Jake Allen, super brilliant guy. Like, I've heard him talk a million times about goaltending, loves to mentor. I just think it fits. And that, you know, pushes probably Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen out of Buffalo. And what can you get for UPL? I don't know. It's depends on how much a team believes in that half season that we're talking about right now.
Jake Allen, 29 starts this year. Save percentage of .906. That's actually his best save percentage in 5 years.
Yeah.
He's
consistently an average to above average 25 to 30 game guy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think, what you need to pair with Levi.
All right, so the second question, just on a personal note, how are you consuming these playoffs? Is there a team you're more watching? Is it a nightly who's on? Do you stay up to watch all of them? Because I know you have to do the morning show, but like, how are you personally consuming these playoffs?
I'm trying to just watch as much as I can because it's just the best hockey that you could ever imagine.
It's amazing.
It's my favorite time of year when everybody's just getting after it like this.
Yeah.
Team-wise, I've been watching the Jets a lot because I'm just interested in that Hellebuck story.
Yep.
Toronto is always interesting, especially to me, just because of
for sure
their story, their history, everything is so
no doubt. Me too. So I mean, when they tense. I was at an event last night. They were up 2-0. I'm like, all right, here we go. And then I look down, it's 2-2. I'm like, oh my God, could this actually happen? Right. And then obviously they took care of business.
Yeah. And the first three games of that series, I was like, I need to bet on Toronto to win the cup. They looked unbelievable. And they looked good again last night. Like they closed it out and in a tight, uncomfortable game, and they, I would say, controlled the play for most of that game, and that was really impressive.
The best series might be Avs Stars right now, and that's going seven.
That
after last night
is a Titan matchup, though. Like that could be a Stanley Cup final in my head. Those two teams are just stacked, and they both play so hard and have talent and size, and both goaltenders are playing well. Blackwood's had a real revival down there in Colorado. He looks great. Ottinger is always really fun to watch to me. So sound technically. That series has been unbelievable.
I have a personal rooting interest. I'd love to see the Oilers. I think McDavid is just, you know, he's the next guy. We talk about Josh Allen here in Buffalo, and he's got to win a Super Bowl, or Lamar Jackson. I mean, come on. Connor McDavid, you know, he has not won a Stanley Cup, right? And honestly, and I've told this before, Zach Hyman, he's a big Bills fan. I've gotten to know Zach and his family over the years just through some events and things like that. So I kind of just from afar, you know, I'm rooting for Zach, you know, to kind of hoist the cup, you know, and getting a little bit older. So I have a bit of a personal rooting interest for the Oilers. I'd love to see that.
I would love to see that, too, just because that team is so electric to watch, and McDavid just has to win one. He is such a witch out there, and it's mind-boggling that they've beaten LA this many times in a row in the first round, and I liked LA in that series early. They looked good, and then just McDavid and Draisaitl are such horses that they can just overcome anything that gets thrown at them.
I mean, they've scored kind of 20 goals the last four games. They actually came back. They won four in a row by scoring 20 goals, and that's who they are.
That's what they do.
If they lose, it's going to be because we're going to be talking about their defense.
And Skinner has been a nightmare for them. They got Calvin Pickard starting. Like, that's what I'm talking about with the league, right? The goalies. Like, there's not that many guys that you can really trust. They were even Winnipeg was talking about not playing Connor Hellebuck.
It's amazing. Who do you after everything you've seen in the first round? Who do you think comes out, East and West?
I'm thinking Florida looks so
I agree.
So good.
I agree.
That Toronto Florida
series. Tough to bet against Florida.
It really is. And then I got to tell you the Stars look really good. And they should be the model for every team in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Veterans that can play and are good leaders. I mean, debatable on Jamie Benn, he's kind of a people don't love him. He's a little dirty. He's a little nasty. But I think you love that if you're a Dallas fan. And they've infused just a massive amount of young talent into that team. They've got a solid goaltender. That's the model. Like, that team is incredible. I think they're going to go on a real
run. What about Vegas?
Here. I don't know. They played a lot of hockey. They look good, but I think they might run out of steam.
Right, they have their moments where you're like, it's not the same team I've watched.
Exactly.
Right?
Mark Stone's older, and, you know, I don't trust Aiden Hill as much as I trust almost anybody else in the playoffs. I know he's won a cup. He looks great. But guys get hot and cold, and you could see that from him.
All right, tonight, game six between the Jets and the Blues in St. Louis, 8 o'clock tonight. So
should be a fun watch.
Yeah, the Blues are looking to force that game seven. Jets looking to advance to the next round. Owen, now because of this, I don't know if I can really eliminate Owen Almighty. We'll see what happens in Kentucky to Survivor.
Know, I think he's 30-1 right now, so you'd be getting pretty good money on him. So
hey, I appreciate you jumping in, and thank you, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Owen Parker right there. He is the video producer on the video side and the YouTube side of the morning show, Jeremy and Joe. And of course, giant goalie son, as you know, bulldog son. We're gonna have Jenna Cottrell come on the radio here in a little while from Rochester, covering the Amerks and the Bills as well. But David Hamber's been waiting; he's got a Bills question, so we'll bring him in right now. Hi, Dave. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. I was just wondering what the Bills financials are right now, because I know we were like less than $6 million before we signed more.
I'm guessing $2 to $3 million in space. They have to have some money to sign their rookies, so that's going to eat up most of it. So I think when you look at everything, they'll probably have a little bit of money, but not much at all.
You think they're going to redo a couple more contracts?
It's a good question. I don't know if they can. They always, I guess you can, I guess, at some point, but I don't really know who the candidates would be, to be honest with you, because I think they've done a few of those, and really a lot of the guys you'd look at going into the last year of your deal. If you're going to the last year of your deal, it's very tough to do. That's Daquan Jones. That's AJ Epenesa. Like, guys like that, like, unless you give an extension where you can lower their salary this year, it's tough to, you can't do a redo because you're not pushing money into future years because there are no other future years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought they were going to redo the left tackle, and I thought somebody, one of these cap guru said something about Dawson Knox too, which, like you say, it's going into his last year where they convert his salary, you know, into a bonus and that's it.
Well, hold on a second. I will tell you, Dawson actually has 2 years left on his deal. Not this year. He's got this year and next year. They could do that. He's got a $9.25 million base salary. They could definitely do that. But now I know a lot of people say they kind of want to see, like, they're paying him too much money. Well, if that's the case, then you're going to be on the hook for even more down the road. And, you know, people think that. You got to be careful about that. As far as Deion, let's remember, he signed his contract extension just 1 year ago. But, yes, you could do that. He's got an $11 million base salary. You could do that. It might be a little too early in this contract where they do that for Deion because, you know, you just signed with that extension. You're already kind of accounting for a lot more money down the road anyway. You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right, Dave.
So you've got the archive, the WGR. Is there any way you could try to find that after the fireworks yesterday? I remember Marv Levy and Wanderlick got into it once.
Wander. It, you know, maybe. I said it. There was a – I was on Schulte with the Bulldog yesterday. My buddy texted me and said, you remember when Bill Polian said – he said, Jim Kelly's the quarterback, Marv Levy's the head coach, and if you don't like that, get out of town. I think that was what he said, right? That was kind of funny, yeah. Right? Yeah, you're right, Dave. I mean, these things happen. These things happen. It's not unique. It's just we haven't had a lot of that over the years. But there was some of that in the 90s, no doubt about it. Go back. I mean, anybody who watched Bills football, listen to Bills football, going back to the 1990s and Bill Polian and Marv Levy, Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly, you know, back and forth between the media was way more harsh, critical, and different. And we didn't have social media. And you could find some of that stuff. It was kind of interesting. So, yeah, thank you for that. Thanks for that, Chuck. I don't know if we could find that specific one, but I do remember that. We'll take a timeout. Jenna Cottrell from Rochester. She's going to join us and talk about the Rochester Americans, the sweep in the first round against Syracuse, and then, of course, the Bills draft. We'll get her thoughts on that. Here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, good to be with you on a Friday.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Puck around the far corner, kept into the near point again. Clay moves in, takes a shot, scores! Off the left side, Clay, three games in a row, puts it away, and the Amherst now take a 2-0 lead.
All right, well, we don't have playoff hockey here in Buffalo, but we do just down the 90 in Rochester, and they are on to the second round into the North Division Final. The Rochester Americans beating Syracuse, sweeping them, back-to-back shutouts for Devin Levi. A lot of you who are older, like me, will remember Bob Sauve, back-to-back shutouts against the Montreal Canadiens in 1983. Sabres, this is when they had a best-of-five in the first round, okay? The Sabres go to Montreal. Bob Sauve has back-to-back shutouts, and they come back home, and they actually sweep the Bruins, and then they go on to play sweep the Canadiens. They go on to play the Bruins. That was a best-of-seven, and that's the series. Goes to game seven, overtime. Brad Park scores, and I'm a 10-year-old boy, and I bawl my eyes out. It's the first time I really remember bawling my eyes out after a sporting event after that happened. But it reminded me of Devin Levi and his back-to-back shutouts. And covering it all, also doing a great job covering the Buffalo Bills, is Jenna Cottrell. You can find her on 13 WHAM in Rochester, and she joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Good morning, Jenna. Thanks for joining me.
Of course, Sal. How's it going?
I'm doing great. How was last night? What was it like? What was the atmosphere? And what's this series like in capturing Rochester?
Yeah, I mean, it's been so much fun to cover. Our own Dan Fates here at 13 WHAM and Buffalo Plus has been doing a great job covering. And honestly, I got to tag along last night and just go to the game. And I got to tell you, I mean, we were in Syracuse, but it felt like an Amherst home game. The amount of fans, they were so loud cheering for Devin Levi, just let's go Amherst. I was so impressed by the amount of fans that traveled for the game. And I got to be honest, like, the game itself was awesome to watch, just in terms of Syracuse, you knew they were going to come out desperate, an elimination game for them. And the way the Amherst just settled the score, had big moments, big goals. Devin Levi made some big saves. The defense played well. It was just such a team complete effort. And to see this Amherst team with a sweep against a team that they lost to last year, and it's been pretty even back and forth. So just to see the dominant fashion in which Rochester was able to take care of Syracuse, it was fun to watch.
They have won 8-0 over the last two games, 11-2, the overall score in this series. They sweep 3-0. But this is a team that kind of has been on track all year, right, Jenna? I mean, this isn't a team that just kind of showed up in the playoffs. They've been pretty consistent, and they played winning hockey all year.
They really have. And, you know, this first year for head coach Mike Leone, and there were so many questions after Seth Appert left. He had established, you know, such a great culture, just such great buy-in. It was like, you know, there's obviously the talent there, but it was like, how will things come together under a new head coach? Because obviously things would be different. But just the buy-in that you've seen, like you said, the talent, and they really consistently have done such a great job performing out on the ice. And you just see it, you know, we've been around a lot of teams in Western New York, obviously for the Bills, and it's like sometimes there's just something special about a team. Like, yeah, they have the talent, they have the skill, they have the grit. But then there's also that little bit of X factor. And we've been talking, it just feels like that this team is, they're special. There's just something about it. And so to see the way they perform so well in this opening series, it kind of made it seem like, all right, yeah, this is what we've seen all season. And this is something that could hopefully go very far in the Calder Cup playoffs.
So you have Devin Levi. I want to get to him in a second, but how else have they done it? Who are some of the players this year who have really stepped up their game that people in Buffalo should be a little bit excited about to have in the organization?
Well, I think, like, especially this series, Cale Klage, three goals in three straight games for him. He's someone that's just been able to be a playmaker. And like I talked about, like, when the shot is there, he takes it and he's able to capitalize. And in the playoffs, you know, there's only so many opportunities. So to come away with that, Mason Yops is another guy to me that he had the first goal last night, a breakaway. This captain that's kind of stepped into this and just played really well. And then obviously getting guys like Gary Kulik back, Isak Lozayan, I mean, Noah Austlin, like, it's all come together in a way that's been really fun to watch. But yeah, and then we got, I mean, Levi is just, he literally one moment last night, like, stood on his head. Like, after he made a great save, he kind of got tripped up, and instead of just kind of rolling to the side, he did a handstand. But it's like, he's just so engaging to watch. He had an incredible toe kick save. Like, he's just, you know, I felt for the Syracuse players because, you know, as someone who's played sports, there's just sometimes where you see a goalie that gets hot and you're like, no matter how many shots you get on net, you know it's just not going to work out. And I feel like with what Devin Levi has brought this whole series, last couple of games, like, you knew it's going to be something special. And, you know, he weathered the storm. Great defense overall, too, by the Amerks, but it was just, it was electric to watch him. I tweeted out after the game, like, the Amerks are a wagon, and Devin Levi is a wagon. And honestly, after the game, you know, I asked him, I'm like, when you're locked in like that, like, what is going through your head? And he's like, honestly, it's just, I'm just trying not to focus too much on it. Like, it's just staying in the moment and not making the moment bigger than it is. But he has done a phenomenal job of managing the moment. And it's obviously the results have been very good for the Amerks.
Young player who, you know, you see this a lot in the minor leagues, you watch them kind of go through their growth, but on the ice and even off the ice, have you noticed a difference in Devin Levi, his maturity, his approach to the game, and has that been a big difference?
I do, and, like, these guys are so young, and I think sometimes, especially in terms of, like, the media stuff, because that can be overwhelming. I mean, as someone who usually is the one behind the camera, you know, pointing the camera at players, sometimes when you're in front of it, you're like, oh, this is a little scary. The lights get bright, all this stuff. But you definitely see the maturation process of him and just the confidence that he has. And you see that both off of the ice as well as on it. And these big moments, the lights are not too bright for him. And that's been what's been so encouraging. And I think also, too, he's very humble about it. Like, he's very much giving the credit to his teammates, to the offense, to how gritty the defense was, to coach. Like, I look for that also in a player. Like, in your successes, who do you credit as well? And he seems like a guy that has that team mindset, that selflessness, and that really does feel like it trickles throughout the entire group. But just seeing how much he has grown from really a year to where he's at now, it's really cool to see. And I do think that there is an apparent difference in just the way he carries himself. And, you know, last year he said playoff hockey is the most fun he's ever had. And Dan Fates asked him last night, like, you know, that was when you guys ended up losing the series. Now that you're winning, he's like, it's even better. And you can see that joy on his face, too.
Yeah, no doubt. That's pretty cool. Jenna Cottrell joining us here on the Wester Hotline. All right, so what's next, Jenna? The Amerks beat the Crunch. They are the first team into the next round after winning the first round. What happens next, and what is the schedule set up for, and what does it look like?
Well, so this is what's a little weird, is that on the other side of, in terms of who they would play, LaValle and Cleveland, that series just started. So the Amerks have a stretch right now where they get in rest, some practice, some reset. But really we're looking at not this week, but next week possibly when things kind of start. So it's a little bit different because Cleveland and LaValle are playing right now. So, and they obviously, the AHL wants to give them a bit of rest after that series ends. And so there's going to be kind of a unique break right now where the Amerks can have that time. Now, I know for a lot of people, like, oh, more rest is great. But when you're playing this well and you're in a groove, you almost want to just keep good things going. So this will be a little bit of a unique thing, just timing-wise, because normally it's not set up like this. But I expect, you know, I even asked the Amerks yesterday, like, you kind of have this longer break. And they're like, yep, it's the same. It's the routine will stay the same. And I think that's when things kind of go awry. It's like the routine helps ground these guys. So either be the winner of LaValle, or it will either be LaValle or Cleveland that they will meet next. Cleveland, really good team. LaValle was the best team in the North Division. Really talented group. Cleveland trying to give them their best. LaValle is up one game to nothing in the series so far. But we will see, and we'll wait, because unfortunately we do have to wait. Just wait to see who the Amerks will play next.
If you go to Jenna's X, it's at Jenna Cottrell, two T's, two L's, you'll see her banner, not her profile picture, the one above that, is her falling down when Tre'Davious White and Mike Evans basically ran her over. This is the Mike Evans play, right? This is when it's happened. Yes. I remember this. I remembered it was about maybe 20 feet away from me. And oh my God, like everybody, oh my God, and you got up, you were a trooper, obviously. But I look at that and I think about now Tre'Davious White is back, right, with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
What do you think about bringing back Tre'Davious White and, you know, the moves they made before the draft, Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson, and kind of revisiting that at the cornerback group?
I mean, I love Trey Way. I love what he brought to the organization. Obviously, the two injuries, those are tough, and that's tough for one of those is tough for a player to come back from, let alone two. But the Bills having him back in the building, I just think that, why not? He's a guy that's obviously familiar with your personnel, with your system, and you can see what he has left in the tank. And so I think it makes a ton of sense. Dane Jackson is another guy that's played his best ball in Buffalo. So why don't you see? I mean, we know we're going into training camp time where there's a lot of guys on the roster. I think it's advantageous to just see what these players that have been in Buffalo, what they can add or if they can add something to the team. So, yeah, I mean, I love the move. I just think, and, you know, we were there at the press conference when Trey came back. And, you know, Trey has such a joyous energy about him. And I think when things went with the Achilles and the ACL, he kind of became a quieter guy, and just to see him back and see the light back in him in a way that, like, he got to show his personality and all those things, it made me think, okay, this is a guy that's really in a good place. And so I was excited to see that he was back, and he was back in a way that I think can really, really add to this team. And even now, like, being an older player, like that mentorship role, I think he's someone that would take on that role, because not every guy wants to be a mentor. You know, some guys are like, right, no, I got to focus on my own thing. But I see him being someone that wants to embrace that role, accept that role. And we'll see, because obviously, I mean, Maxwell Hairston, I think he has a lot of the traits, the talent that you see, but also there's such an acclimation period and getting ramped up for the NFL. I think Trey can help out. And honestly, I don't know about you, Sal, but their personalities, like, there's a bit of similarity to me in, like, the way that they handle themselves and just how, like, fun they are with the media. I don't know if you feel that, too.
I do, and we're going to meet Max Hairston for the first time next week at, rookie minicamp. They're also kind of the same size, a little bit, right? A little smaller, a little thinner, obviously. So it's going to be really interesting to see all that. You get Max Hairston in the first round, Jordan Hancock, Dorian Strong. They really kind of made over and added to that corner group. And then, of course, you have a few other draft picks as well. Landon Jackson, TJ Sanders, Deion Walker, Caden Prather, Jackson Hawes. What was your favorite draft pick for the Bills as far as maybe a player who can come in who you think, you know what, this guy might be able to really kind of come in and make a pretty good impact right away?
I was really excited about Landon Jackson. Yeah. I just think that the size that he has and just his motor, I love that his teammates called him crazy, which in the NFL is a good thing. You know, that high motor, the production. I just think a guy like that, I want to see what he can do. And I think he can be one of the guys that can step in early on and get some playing time and play well and kind of develop. So he was someone that I was really excited about. Also, full disclosure, he has a very cute dog named Honey, and I'm like, I love that too. I was like, that's adorable. But he was really fun in his post-draft press conference talking about, I have my wife, I have my dog, and I have football. And I just think he's someone that seems like such a Billsy guy in terms of the personality fit, the demeanor, and just something like that. But overall, like, I expected them to go defense heavy. That's what they did. Mm-hmm. I think they needed the resources, and they went out and did that. But he's someone that I think can really pop. And I'm excited to see how it works out. Like you said, rookie mini camp is next week, so we get to really meet these guys in person and hear a bit more about them.
Yeah, no doubt. I love it. I think Landon Jackson, to me, is like an old soul, right? He's 22.
Yes.
He's married. He's got a mini golden doodle, right?
Yes.
You're right about that. I mean, this is crazy to think about that, and you're right. He'll probably fit in right away in a locker room. And it's tough sometimes on guys that come in as younger guys to fit in right away with people been, you know, they've been married, have kids at different stages of their lives sometimes. We talk about when Tremaine Edmonds was drafted and he was so young, but, you know, he had a bit of a pedigree with his dad. Good thoughts on there. Jackson Hawes is interesting too, right? I mean, here's a guy that, you know, he's gonna come in, and I saw a tweet, and my apologies for not knowing the Twitter account that said it, a Bills fan Twitter account said, the Bills have a bunch of guys at tight end who sound like they should be the lead in a Western. Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, and Jackson Hawes will fit right in.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
That is really funny. Shout out Bills Mafia. They got some great tweets. No, you're right. I think he's an intriguing pick. Obviously, like, I mean, the way he talks about blocking, like the just the love that he has, the violence, I believe, wasn't that the word? Like,
yes.
He loves the violence of it. Like, that's what you need. And I think for them, like with Quinton Morris, whatever that is, with him not being on the roster right now, and then with Alec Anderson, what will that do for just the offense and what they want to run? I think it's an intriguing pick, and I think he's someone that there's a path for him to get out on the field very quickly. So we'll see what it all looks like. But, yeah, I mean, look, I will say I was one of the people that was hoping they would draft a wide receiver before the seventh round. I know we don't have to get all into it, but I think by them also adding Elijah Moore like this last week, I think they did a good job in the draft. This is where you have to, you know, get the bulkier guys going forward for training camp. I think they did a nice job rounding out the roster at spots of need and adding, like I said, a wide receiver in free agency. And I like where this team is at now heading into rookie minicamp, OTAs, and then training camp. I think they're in a good spot where they want to be coming out of the spring.
Yeah, real quick, since you brought it up, I'll ask you, with a couple minutes left here, what did you think about Elijah Moore and the ad? Could he make an impact on this team? You know, where does he fit? It's a guy that 61 catches on the Browns last year, literally would have been almost double the second wide receiver on the Bills last year, who was Mac Hollins and Curtis Samuel tied at 31.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Like, looking at the stats of that, you're like, wow, that's pretty unbelievable to look at. But no, I like the ad. I think he can give that vertical threat that the Bills offense, you know, stretch the field, which we've talked about always wanting to add. I think he can do a good job of that. Now, I think in terms of quarterback play, Josh Allen elevates everyone, but especially for him, it gives him the opportunity to play with a guy that obviously is the NFL MVP. So I think he's shown the catch-wise, he has the hands and all that stuff. So I think it's a good ad. It makes a lot of sense. I think you raise the floor of that receiver room, which I think is an important piece because there's obviously guys that you're still hoping take a step forward, but to at least raise the floor, I think it's really nice and a spot that you need to be in as you head into training camp in the summer.
Whenever Jenna's on, we always get great feedback, and everybody loves hearing from her. You do such a great job. But that being said, we can let everybody know where else they can find you because you guys do a great job on the Buffalo Plus podcast with you and Mike Catalana and Dan Fates. So if you want more of Jenna, you can get more of Jenna. Let everybody know where.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's very sweet. So we have the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. We do a podcast on there. We do a whole bunch of videos as well. And then if you're in Rochester locally, you can find me on 13 Wham, Channel 13. And yeah, I'm on Twitter as well, Instagram. My name is Jenna, J-E-N-N-A, last name Cottrell, C-O-T-T-R-E-L-L, and my handle is just my name. So if you are interested in following along, I'm here for it.
And we have ruled out, you are not related to Ted Cottrell, right? You guys, old Bills coach, we've done this before, right?
Yes. No,
okay.
It's wild, though, because there's not a lot of people, like, my family's not from Western New York, so when I moved here, I was like, oh, interesting. And there are some Cottrells in the area, but there is no relation, unfortunately.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up at Rookie Minicamp, I'm sure.
All right, sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right, you got it. That is Jenna Cottrell. You can find her online on Twitter. She does such a great job. High energy. I love it. I always tell her that. She brings the energy on the radio. That's what I love about it. She does a great job on TV as well. And, of course, she went to Syracuse, right? So we have that, and that's why we love Jenna as well. At Jenna Cottrell on X/Twitter. You can find her right there. And yeah, that I remember that moment, that day. The moment the Bucks came to Buffalo 2017, Trey White knocks the ball out of the receiver's hand towards the end of the game to win the game. Before that, Mike Evans catches a touchdown pass right in the corner of the end zone, and he catches it, he slides, and Jenna's right there, and she gets tripped up, and bam, she's got the camera in her hand, falls down, and she's got that as her banner on her Twitter page. Thankfully, she was okay right after that, trooper. But yeah, that was a pretty viral moment, actually, when that wound up happening. We'll take a timeout here. When we come back, we'll wrap up this hour of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We will prepare ourselves for Kentucky Derby Survivor. Maybe you have no idea of the names of the horses in the Kentucky Derby field. I kind of had no idea of the names until I start looking at them coming up here, because we're just going to do this off the cuff and say, you know what? I kind of like this horse. I don't like this horse. This is who I'm eliminating. And we are going to get to one horse to root for between Evan and I here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
I feel like I have to have the Kentucky Derby music going on here. I should just do it myself. Is that good? You got that? Did I do it that right now, Evan? Evan's not even listening. There you go. See? Hey, if we're going to do Kentucky Derby Survivor after this timeout. If Owen wants to do it, he can join in with us. I know he's over there, so we're going to see if that's going to be the case. All right, get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. That's where you can find me on Twitter, at Sal Sports. In the meantime, we're going to get connected with you when we do Kentucky Derby Survivor after this timeout.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.